Welcome to Revive. It's about that time. Welcome to Revive. It's about that time. All I need is one mic. You know what time it is. Open up your ears. You know what time it is. Open up your mind. It's about that time. It's your girl POC. Welcome to Revive. Yes, yes, it's your girl POC. Welcome to the Sunday edition of Revive. Spread the word that we are live right now on timeforanawakening.com/revive. Once again, we are live right now on timeforanawakening.com/revive, or you can go directly to Tune In. You can either go to the website or download the app and just search Tune In. I'm sorry, just search Time for an Awakening. I apologize. And you will hear me, your girl POC, live from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. each and every Sunday and also Wednesday. Don't forget about that Winning Wednesday edition here on Revive, each and every Wednesday from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Shout out to both Harmony the Goddess and True Heart for holding it down with me in the studio as always, man. I'm really excited to be back on these airways speaking to you guys for this Sunday edition of Revive. Of course, we have a jam-packed show for you guys today. You know we do. We got a couple of people coming on to talk about what they're doing, how they're impacting the community, how they're putting out positive energies and great vibrations into the people in their community and how it's spreading to everyone outside of the community so we can come into that community and create that unity that we are looking for. So I'm really excited to be talking to our guest that's coming up on the Revive platform today. Make sure you guys follow the timeline because we are live tweeting and Facebook posting each and every time we get on the airwaves. Follow us at Revive_POC on both Facebook and Twitter. Once again, that's Revive_POC on both Facebook and Twitter. And subscribe to that Revive newsletter, y'all. Do not forget about that Revive newsletter. The Revive newsletter come out once a month and it's filled with information that you want to stay in the loop about. Shout out to Harmony the Goddess for putting that together each and every month, man. You can stay in the loop about what's going on in Revive, the events that we're attending, the interviews that we get, different things like that. And I know you guys want to stay in the loop, so in order to do that, you got to subscribe to that newsletter. And it's just that simple. You go to timeforanawakening.com/revive, scroll down right under that big blue button. When you click the Hear Me every Wednesday and every Sunday, right under that is a big white word that says subscribe. Click that and fill in that information and you will get all the information you need each and every month from the Revive team. We put in a lot of work throughout the months here, so we want to make sure that you guys stay in the loop of what's going on. Yes, once again, I do have Harmony the Goddess and True Heart in the building with me. Go ahead and give yourself a shout out.
Peace and blessings, everyone. This is Harmony the Goddess coming to you live on Revive. It's so great to be here and such a beautiful day to be living on this platform right now. Thank you. And you can definitely find me on Facebook, Harmony the Goddess, and also Instagram, Harmony the Goddess as well. Thank you.
Hey, everyone. This is your girl, True Heart, coming to you live on Revive. Be sure to follow Higher Level Communication on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, and stay tuned for the Truth Series.
The Truth Series, the truth. What you about to be talking about today in the Truth Series?
It's entitled Reclaiming My Time. So honestly, truly, we all need to get it back. If somebody's on your time and they're wasting it, no, that's not going to happen. So you definitely want to stay tuned to today's Truth Series.
I agree with you. We actually talked about that last Wednesday. Well, Wednesday that just passed, we talked about reclaiming our property. It's time to buy back the block. We got to buy back the block, man. We were just talking about that. It's out on our timeline right now as well. So if you go to Facebook and Twitter, you can actually listen to that show that we played on Wednesday. You can actually go back and listen to that show that we did on Wednesday. Also, Tab Money was on that show too as well. So make sure you guys go check out that Tab Money Habits because she definitely dropped some gems of how we can save more and spend less. And I know we all want to save more and spend less. And she definitely dropped some gems on how you can do that. So definitely stay tuned and give us a call. 215-490-9832. Once again, that's 215-490-9832. If there's any anything that you want to comment, give your opinion on, you know, you want us to hear your perspective on, definitely give us a call so we can, you know, educate and re-educate the people out there. You know, it's time that we do that. It's time that we wake the people up. And that's what we're trying to do here in Revive. We're trying to revive the people each and every time we get on the airwaves. So once again, give us a call, 215-490-9832. Yesterday, you guys, man, we was down there at the Soul School 2017 Festival, man. We enjoyed ourselves. It was, I felt like I was in the 90s, man. They talking about old school music. I'm like, this ain't no old school music. This, I'm listening to this. This is that 90s hip hop R&B. We had Biz Markie. We had Total. We had Marsha Ambrosia. Like, I was extremely excited. DJ Cool, man. These are artists that you don't get to see every day. You know, these are artists that were helping us to come up, you know, as we were growing up. These are artists legendary. Exactly. These are artists that, you know, we had in our CD players, you guys. I mean, our CD, not our iPods, our CD players, our Walkmans, because I had a tape, man. I had a tape tape joint. So I know how it feels to then to actually go out and cover a media event and see these people, you know. And then, like how DJ Cool said, he said, yo, I just want to let y'all know I'm human. Like, because a lot of people don't think that they're human. And he made that point throughout his performance yesterday. He was like, I just want to let y'all know I'm human. You know, and I was amazed because it was extremely exciting. Even when it came down to Marsha, she was superhuman. You know what I mean? So it was exciting. Pam, all that, you know, with Total, it was extremely exciting, man. How did you guys feel working the show yesterday?
It was truly, truly an honor just to be there and to have access, just had to have so much access to go in and go out and to speak to these performers and these legends who we put on a pedestal. But at the end of the day, just like you said, they're human beings too. So shout out to Jordan Harris for putting on the event. He really did his thing, and I can't wait till next year.
You got to tell them, you got to tell the people who Jordan Harris is. You can't just say shout out to Jordan Harris. Now they on their Googles like, who is Jordan Harris? So tell them who Jordan Harris actually is.
Jordan Harris is a state representative. He is actually from South Philly, and he works in South Philly. And if you guys don't know who he is, his name is Jordan Harris. He does a lot for the community, and he's a part of the 186th legislative district. And he already has a game plan for the fall. So if you need anything, you're in the south side of Philly, hit him up, because he's definitely a man about the community.
Definitely. And how did you feel working the event yesterday, Harmony? You had the camera in your hand, man. You was the cameraman. How did it feel?
It felt great. It was definitely refreshing to be there and to be in a community where there's so much positive impact and we're surrounding each other with so much love and so much great vibrations. Like, that was just amazing. That was just amazing to me. And just to meet, you know, the people that I literally grew up with and sitting there taking pictures of and just talking to them and understanding that, you know, I can be there as well. Like, we can all get there, but it's a process. So it was just definitely refreshing to be there.
It was definitely a breath of fresh air to me. Man, we're not stopping. The Revive team is not stopping. We're definitely alive. So I appreciate Jordan Harris for giving us that invitation to come down and cover that, you know, that amazing event. And also just a big up to the people in South Philly. Man, the South Philly community, the South Philly residents showed up yesterday, man. They showed up with pride. They showed up with energy. They showed up with positivity. They just wanted to see their community thrive. They wanted to get their community back. Because if you got on the South Philly right now, gentrification is real. You go down to South Philly, you look around, you go one ducky block to the next ducky block, it does not look the same at all. You know what I mean? Like, we just rode past, when we were leaving, we rode past, it was like a corner where you see nothing but kids playing literally on a corner, and then you go literally one light down, it's like houses lit up, like just lit up, like if you in a suburban area, and the kids one block down are playing on a corner, like a street corner, like actually playing on the corner, no grass, no nothing, just a fence, and them running around the fence, like literally, but one block over, it looks like you are in the middle of, you know, a suburban area. You just trees, grass, backyards, everything. So when I see, you know, the people of South Philly standing up and speaking for themselves, and you have the congressmen and congresswomen down there speaking to the community and telling them how they are making an impact, how their vote does count, you know, to keep it in the community, to make sure that we stay here, we don't buy out, we don't, you know, allow them to push us out. It means so much. We even had the Attorney General, who's trying to, the DA, I'm sorry, we even had the DA down there speaking who won the primary for Philadelphia. You know, that means a lot. You know, that means they actually wanted to come out and speak. That means they actually wanted to come out and talk to the people of Philly. You know, what was that senator's name? He got so passionate. Like, he got so Anthony Williams. Yes, the senator, Anthony Williams. He got so passionate about what he was saying because when he speaks, he was trying to say, yo, black lives really matter. Like, we really matter. This is our community. This is us. Yo, if you look at Philly, Philly is what? 88%, 70%, don't quote me on the numbers, but at least 80% black. You know what I'm saying? At least 80% black. Don't quote me once again, but I'm just saying. So to look around and see the gentrification that's going on, it's like, yo, so who's about to live in these $200,000 homes? Who's about to live in these $2,200 condos? Who's about to live on this waterfront? Like, why are we being pushed up, you know, the Roosevelt Boulevard? Why we got to go all the way up? Why we can't stay in the city? Why we can't, you know, be in the area? Why we can't be in University City? What is a University City? That is West Philadelphia. I'm not even from here, and I'm like, nah, that ain't that. What are you talking about? Like, if I go one block, I'm in West. If I go another block, I'm in University City. That don't even make sense. So definitely, when it comes to this gentrification, it is real, and that's why we talked about it on Wednesday. But to go down there on yesterday and to see the passion that came out of the congressman, the congresswoman, the senator, it was so many different people down there. You know, the DA's office, it was so many different representatives or state representatives down there who had something to say, you know, who just really wanted the people to know that they were in the communities each and every day. And I hope they actually do their job, because there was a lot of them down there. I'm looking like, yo, you ain't really doing your job, but I'm going to let you live today. I ain't going to point no fingers, but definitely I hope they're really doing their job, because they need to be doing their job, because they're allowing Philly to slip away each and every day. So they definitely need to do their job. And shout out to Kenyatta Johnson. I'm really on his wave right now. I like what he does. I like his legislative. I like the things that he's pushing forward. I like the agendas that he has. Shout out to him, and shout out to Jordan as well. It was a great event, just super, super dope event.
And shout out to Jordan, because he definitely made a plug for Cheney University. He told us to call, to write letters, to really just push our government to, look, this is the nation's first HBCU, and we can't let it go under just for lack of funds and lack of resources. So shout out to him, because he really made that push for the first HBCU. I hope people take him up on that offer and really help save this university.
Definitely. And me being alumni to that university, I appreciate that. I love Cheney pin on yesterday. I was repping my school, repping my set as always. Yes, because I want my school to stay alive. You know what I mean? I definitely do. I do not want the culture to shift at all when it comes to Cheney. I just think that, you know, it does have to be cut off from the top. I definitely think that, you know, it's leadership and things like that. I don't want to really get into it, but I definitely think that is leadership, and it's a lot of different things that need to be done that's not being done. So I hope that the new administration there at Cheney will get the job done, because we do want to see Cheney stay alive. Definitely. What about you, Harmony?
Definitely. I'm gonna see you alumni. So I definitely don't want to see my HBCU to go down. But we all gotta come together and find a solution for this school as well. So doing whatever we need to do to keep the school up and accredited, and not merging with other schools, but just standing, you know, grounded with itself. I definitely think that is very important that we take imperative.
Thank you. I appreciate that too, man. Especially, we need it. Just save the HBCUs in general, so we can educate us, you know, so we can get educated by people who look like us, is what I'm trying to say. Yes. You know what I mean? That's saying that we can't go to a PWI and there's going to be, you know, a black professor there that cannot do the same that, you know, a black professor can do at HBCU. But I just think that the environment is different. You know, the feeling is different. The how organic it actually is truly, truly different. So definitely save the HBCUs. Put the money back in the HBCUs. Definitely. And also, when it comes to funding, we got to do our part as well. Like, if you think about PWIs, like, their alumni really put back into their school. They, without question, they don't have to send them 30 cards reminding, hey, your alumni dues are due. You know what I'm saying? They literally are just saying, yo, I love my school. I love my fraternity. I love my sorority. I love my business club. I love whatever club that I was a part of while I was there. And I'm going to not just put back into the school. I'm going to put back into the students as well, because I'm going to give out scholarships, you know what I mean, in my company's name. I'm going to give donation dollars in my name. And then I'm going to go ahead and put some more donation dollars into the club or the activity that I was involved in. You know what I'm saying? So I think that takes it to a whole nother level when it comes to donations back to a PWI, because they go above and beyond to make sure that their school is staying alive, versus us I mean, us who graduate from HBCUs, and I'm not putting all of us in the box who graduate from HBCUs, we just literally take our time when it comes to donating back to our university or supporting back. You know, we show up when it's homecoming season or when it's the big end of the year party or something like that. So I think we definitely need to take that into consideration as well, that it's not just about homecoming. It's not just about the parties. It's about the clubs that you participated in. It's about the organizations that you were involved in. It's about the students that, you know, that look just like you when you were 18, 19, 20, you know, you didn't have that money there. So why not go give out a book scholarship? Why not go purchase, you know, some school supplies and give back to your university? It's easy. These are the little things. You know, why not go volunteer to be a chaperone at one of the parties that you want to go to so bad, or one of the parties that you had so much fun at, you know? Or why not go be a sponsor, which is simply saying, yo, I want to host this event at the school in honor of X, Y, and Z. It's so easy. Just put in the paperwork. And that's the thing. We never want to do the paperwork. So I think that that's something that truly that we should take in consideration as well. When it comes to saving the HBCUs, we have to do our part. We have to hold ourselves accountable, because we tend to suck at holding ourselves accountable. So if we start holding ourselves accountable, I know for a fact that, you know, saving the HBCUs can definitely become a little bit easier. It's not going to be easy, but it can become a little bit easier because we're now doing our part. We're putting back into our schools, definitely. And also, I wanted to talk a little bit about what happened in Virginia. Man, did you guys hear about what happened in Virginia? Trueheart, you know a little bit more about it than I do. Go ahead and fill the people in about what happened in Virginia.
So basically what happened, there was an outright protest in Virginia, specifically the University of Virginia, and it was entitled Unite the Right. And so, of course, we have the, you know, the free speech and different things like that. So white nationalists actually came together to exert themselves and stand for what they believed in. But basically what happened is that it got really, really out of control. There were white nationalists protesting for the things that they believed in, and there were also counter protesters who were not really digging what they were putting down, and it was a lot of brutality. It was a lot of fights. It was a lot of just confusion and just frustration, and people were actually fighting, people were actually getting attacked and different things of that nature. And what happened ultimately, a guy who was 20 years old named James Alex Fields Jr. took it upon himself to ran a car through the counter protest. This man was 20 years old. He ran a car. It was actually a Dodge Challenger, and he ran it up to 40 to 50 miles per hour through the crowd. And not only did he hurt several people, one person was actually killed and 19 were injured. And then he reversed at high speed and got away. Thankfully, he's been caught. And he wasn't even from Virginia. He was from Ohio. So just the images and the videos of that terrible, terrible, horrific time in Virginia has really struck the nation. And even outside of Virginia, everybody is feeling like, where are we as a country? Where are we? What is the state of America? And people are looking at Donald Trump, President Trump, to say something about it. And he has yet to say anything about it, address the actions that did take place in Virginia. So the simple fact that the white nationalists even felt the need to come together, and then they were protesting with tiki. They were protesting with tiki lights. It's just like, what are you guys doing? So race is just like at an all-time high right now, but we've been here before. So I think that we're just really just trying to get our wits about us and really just trying to say, okay, like, where do we go from there? Because everybody has felt the shock and the sadness from this horrific event. So the Rive team definitely stands with all the people in Charlottesville and keep fighting a good fight.
Definitely. And one thing I do want to say, because we do have to go to a quick commercial break before our first guest comes on, is I truly am pointing the finger at Donald Trump. Like, I know that people say he wasn't there, he didn't do it, he didn't put the man's foot on the gas pedal. But at the same time, he woke these people up. He allowed them to know that this was okay. He told them that, yo, fight for your right, fight for your First Amendment, fight for your freedom of speech, X, Y, and Z. Yes, but at the same time, that what you're saying, your freedom of speech, which the dialogue that you're actually getting across is a hate crime. Like, you're speaking towards me in a hateful way. Like, you're threatening my life. You're threatening my livelihood. You're threatening my peace. Can I reclaim my time? You hear me? So it's so much bigger than when, you know, he tweets out and says, oh, we need to stand together. No, you need to be having a press conference. You need to be down there in the city of Charlottesville, Virginia, right now, on the campus of the University of Virginia, right now. You should have been on a craft on your way over there that hour on the hour. You are the president of the United States. You need to stand up and speak out. This is not okay. This is not okay. At the same time, you're over there threatening North Korea. We're over here fighting each other. Like, what are you doing? What is going on with the American people? I thought you were making America great again. But all you're doing is showing America's hate again. So if you really want to talk about it, let's talk about what's going on, Donald Trump. Like, I'm pointing my finger at you. You woke this hatred up. You woke this Nazi, white supremacy, all this, this outright groups, whatever they want to call themselves. Like, yo, but back in the day when we called ourselves the Crips and the Bloods, it was a problem. But they can call themselves an outright group, a white supremacy group, and get away with it. No, it's not okay at all. It's never going to be okay. And if you think that is okay and you continue to just tweet out what's going on, we're going to continue to look up and it's going to be more rallies like that. It's going to be more fights like that because we're not backing down anymore. We're standing up. We're waking ourselves up, Donald Trump. So if you look around that all the video feeds and all the imagery that came from that rally, yo, it was real. I'm talking about real skinheads. I'm talking about real Nazis. I'm talking about real Ku Klux Klan members. I'm talking about people who really been like, yo, we about to take over these streets. We are communists. We are, you know what I mean? Like, we are people who are coming for your blood. We don't care about who you are, what you do, or what you look like. We just know you don't look like us, and we coming for you, blood. That is scary as hell. So walk down the street in Virginia, bruh, the Commonwealth of Virginia, to be like, oh, I got to look over my shoulders. Yo, that is scary.
And it was so bad that the governor even declared a state of emergency. So the simple fact that let it have been a Black Lives Matter protest, let it have been, you know, more than 500 people of color gathered together, they would have shut it down. They would have literally tear gassed, had guns, had dogs, had all these different things to dismantle the crowd. But the simple fact that it was an outright group, then it was just like, okay, guys, you know, go home, or, you know, dismantle down, or different things like that. It was such a different approach. So when we're talking about this, we have to talk about all parties involved. And the simple fact that if a car didn't run through the protest, would this even have been a national crisis? Would this even have gained national attention? So the simple fact that this did happen is just, it's just enough is enough. Enough is enough. And where do we go from here? You know, where we go, people are going to return to their everyday jobs. It was professors. It was cops. It was doctors. It was people out there. So now it's just like, we just have to do something.
Definitely. I'm just going to leave it on this note as we go to the next commercial break. The revolution will be televised. Just know that the revolution will be televised. Stay tuned, people. To Revive right now, we are going on a quick commercial break. Up next, we have the Black Gold Project. Man, I'm really excited to be talking about them. What they're doing with the theater, it's so impactful. Man, they're bringing art alive. They're making, you know, the visuals come to you, you know, make you just want to just reach out and grab it. So we have the Black Gold Project coming up here on Revive. I'm extremely excited to be talking with them. We'll be right back after this commercial break. You know what time it is. It's me, your girl, POC.
Hey, what's up, y'all? It's Fab Five Freddy, direct from New York City. Today, we're celebrating one of the most important innovations in hip-hop music, the break. On August 11, 1970, a back-to-school party in the Boogie Down Bronx that changed music as we know it. Using two turntables, he extended the instrumental break, allowing people to dance longer, a style that came to be known as breakdancing. Next came the MC, or the master of ceremonies, who added rhymes over the beat to get the party going and flowing. In the years since DJ Kool Herc's first party, hip-hop culture has become a major force across music, dance, art, fashion, and a whole lot more. On this historic anniversary, we're inviting you to join the celebration and be the DJ with two turntables and a crate full of hot records. Come on, y'all, let's get this party started.
Welcome to Revive. It's about that time. Welcome to Revive. It's about that time. All I need is one mic. You know what time it is. Open up your ears. You know what time it is. Open up your mind. It's about that time. It's your girl POC. Hey. It's your girl POC. Yes, and we are back on timeforanawakening.com/revive. Once again, we are back on timeforanawakening.com/revive. It's me, your girl, POC. I'm live on the airways each and every Sunday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., so make sure you guys stay tuned. We do have our first guest coming up on the Revive platform. Yo, Trueheart, who do we have coming to Revive today?
On the Revive platform, we have the Black Gold Project. The Black Gold Project is a nonprofit organization that creates programs and events to cultivate unity, empowerment, and positive activity within the urban community. The Black Gold Project liberates the mindsets of descendants within the African diaspora and teaches one another the value in everything curated by the community. Welcome, Black Gold Project, to the Revive platform.
What's up, Black and Go? How are you doing today? Yeah, so I'm extremely excited to have them on the airwaves today. Man, it's incredible. Hey, Jer, how are you doing?
Oh, he's great.
How are you?
Hello, Chris.
Yes, I can hear you guys.
Oh, great. You got Caroline on the line.
Hey, Caroline, how are you?
I'm wonderful. I'm so excited to be back. We've missed you guys. And, you know, listening in this morning, you know, you just got me so excited to really talk about the Black Gold Project and everything that's happening, how this is what has driven us from the beginning.
Definitely. Well, let's get straight into it. Tell us a little bit more about Black Gold Project.
Well, Black Gold Project right now, our mission is to educate, empower, unite, and activate the Black community, uniting us together so that we may begin to activate ourselves.
Caroline, your line is breaking up a little bit. Your service is breaking up a little bit.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought that I had you on mute. But our mission is to unite, educate, empower, and activate the Black community. And we're doing this for these reasons when we're seeing all types of different groups of these white nationalists gathering, you know, against us. These are the reasons why, so that we do have unity within our numbers, and not just unity within our numbers, but unity within our money.
Definitely.
To control what is really truly happening to us.
Definitely.
So, put ourselves in a position to get in front of it. That's a part of what we're doing right now with the festival. It's not only a festival for the arts, but it is a fundraiser so that we can continue to be activated, to educate ourselves.
Definitely. And so when did the festival actually start? This is the last day of the festival today, right?
Yes, this is the last day of the festival. And this is Jerry here. We're both on speakerphone on this one phone, but festival started 2 weeks ago on July 30th, and today is the last day of the festival. But it encompassed pretty much everything. We had praise dancing on June 30th on a Sunday, and then we came back with a poetry slam on Wednesday. Thursday was a music showcase. Friday we had another stage play. Then Saturday was a comedy show. This Wednesday and Thursday that just passed, we had children's theater. We had a summer camp. They came and did a crayon show and did Pinocchio.
Awesome.
And then we're closing it out with two of our shows. Last night we just did Black Love, which was a premiere of my first romantic comedy that I wrote. And then tonight we're bringing back a classic hit that we produced back in 2012 called It Could Be Worse, which is a really intense tearjerker. And but it deals with four different families that have four life-altering circumstances and how they just kind of love and grow through that themselves.
Awesome. And how was your premiere last night with Black Love? How was that? I know that was a great feeling. How was that?
Oh, it's always amazing, you know, once it's amazing. Before, you're in the cloud, in the thick of the storm, you don't know what it's going to be. But last night was truly, truly amazing. We're still kind of riding on cloud nine from not only the responses, but just just the overwhelming amount of true love that was there. You know, it was a thing where we didn't see everybody we wanted to see show up, but we saw people show up. And when they showed up, they enjoyed themselves thoroughly, and they told everybody about it. So those are some of the things that you just can't buy. You know, you can't. Those are the priceless aspects of it. You know, just seeing, you know, people out here, the leaders from Mothers in Charge out here. There were so many other different organizations and leaders, and just great. There were so many, you know, people from college that, you know, founded their own, so on and so forth. It was just a beautiful thing to have these conversations with people, and they were just going on about all of the great things that they're doing as well in their community. So it's good that we have what we have and what we're doing, because it gives people a common space to come in and just clash their heads together and say, you know what, we can do this. So when they do see this and they walk in, they see the red carpet, they see the backdrop, they see the cameras, they see the flashing, they see a great show, and then afterwards they feel even more empowered to go do something. This is what we're trying to do and be about. We need to empower ourselves and know that we are Black gold at all times, and we need to operate and move in excellence at all times. And then when we do that, we need to activate. We need to be activated. We need to stop talking about what we're trying to do, what needs to be done, and we need to do it.
Just do it.
Period.
Agreed. I definitely agree with you with that one. Just get it done. But how did you guys get the cast members together for this festival? You know, because this is a 2-week festival. So how did you get, you know, everyone in place to make sure that, you know, this is the right, you know, casting for this festival you're doing?
We we run Skits and Conversations, which you guys know who are very familiar with. Mm-hmm. We run that throughout the year. So we already had a kind of cast to start with. So we started casting for Skits and Conversations back in the fall, and then we ran another audition in January. And so we had pretty much a nice cast to pick from, but we still had to get a couple more people because we were doing 2 shows. So we ran another audition. We did another audition process. And once we kind of landed there, some people fell off, and then some people fell on. And so it's one of those kind of, you know, a random bag of tricks that you got to pull to really get your cast together. But we did. We pulled together a phenomenal cast, you know. And even when one person fell off, the good thing about it is Caroline and I both are professionally trained actors. So when one person falls off, if it's a guy or a girl, we both look at each other and say, you ready to learn them lines? And that's exactly what happened with Black Love last night. One of the lead roles fell off, and it was one of those things where it's too late to try and pull somebody that's new in now. Let's go in and get, you know, I had to go in and jump in and play that role. You know, recently one of our cast members fell ill. And so I looked at Caroline. I said, you ready to be the mom in the show? And so, but she, fortunately, thankfully, thank God that she came back to her health and she's performing in the show. But that's pretty much how it comes together. And then at the end of the day, we both know that we're actors and we can do it too. But moving forward, I think what we really truly want to do to kind of alleviate some of the stress of casting is really maybe just cast for about 6 months straight. Just run auditions for about 6 months straight until we find like the perfect ensemble of group to kind of add to the group that we already have.
So if someone wants to volunteer or reach out to become a cast member at this point, what should they do, or what's the steps that they need to know?
They would just email us. So our email directly is theblackgoldproject@gmail.com. So just email us at theblackgoldproject@gmail.com, and that's how you would pretty much get in contact with us if you want to be a part of the cast, and we'll send you out. We'll make sure you get into that list of who gets emailed for casting and so on and so forth.
Definitely. And what actually sets Black Gold Project aside from all the other art nonprofit organizations that's out there? What makes you guys different? What makes you guys, you know, that group?
Well, I strongly believe that what sets us apart is the fact that we have one of our core models, and when we work together, is that we have a strong sense of morals. Mm-hmm. And that's something that we really hold before really anything else. Is it honest? Is it truthful? Is it righteous? You know, those are things that we truly do live by. And that's what sets us apart, is that we're not just trying to make money or trying to be famous or just trying to, get over or have a big company. I mean, we are, you know, very learning our footing in business. But at the heart of it, from anybody that we work with, the question is always,
is it, what is their moral background? You know, who are they morally? Who are they spiritually? What are their beliefs? Are they good? You know, those are things that are very, very important to us because we're good. And we want to surround ourselves with people that are righteous, people that want to always really do the right thing. Jared and I have this idea that the Black Gold Project is self-fulfilling because when you do things out of truth and justice and righteousness, that is what you get back at all times. So, you know, the Black Gold Project, it is becoming its own entity outside of us. It is something that we've created, but, you know, it is also very self-fulfilling because when you are always keeping your moral mind forward, that is the energy that you receive back. So I really think that is truly what separates us from other nonprofits is that, you know, at the core of it, you know, everybody that we work with in any aspect, we always want to keep the feeling of family very strong between us, between each other, our actors, anybody on administration staff or anything like that. You know, we always want to work with people. Just being right here on your show right now is because, you know, we feel strongly in everything that this show represents. So that is a part of what sets us apart. You know, we're not looking to be, trying to fit in or trying to be, you know, money mongols or business gurus, you know?
Just to piggyback a little bit, I think another thing that sets us apart is Caroline and I are, you know, not only partners in business, but we're best friends and we're family. And we've been together since like ninth grade in high school. And we've had a friendship that, you know, in high school, we were running around saying, we're going to be famous together. We're going to do this together. We're going to make this happen together. And just to be walking in his footsteps with her, alongside with her and, you know, her alongside with me, it really is a ride or die strategy and team process. And even with this festival, there's been a lot that's gone on and it's taught us about our partnership and our friendship that we truly do understand. At the end of the day, we have each other. If we don't have anything else, we have each other. And, you know, I think it's a benefit to having a male and a female at the, you know, at the top, because it's really truly like it's a bond that really can't be broken. It's a yang and a yang. It's things that I don't think about at all that Caroline thinks about. It's things that Caroline doesn't think about that I think about. And there's things that I just can't do that Caroline can do marvelously. Like, for example, with the set, I walked in and the cast walked in. I had the set up. Caroline was, you know, she was visiting family and I had the set up and then she came back and hooked it up and I knew she would hook it up, but everybody in the cast come back like, praise Caroline, the goddess of setting up the dress and beautifulness, and she's the bomb. And I'm like, oh, really? So what, the couch wasn't nice when I put it up? And but that's truly, I think what sets us apart is everything she said, but genuinely at the core, it's her and I, and we're best friends. And, you know, in a lot, they say, you know, you can't mix business with friendship or however like that. But we know how to tread that thin line. We know how to cuss each other out with pride. We know how to, awesome. You know, have fights and still hug in the morning and go do a radio show the next day or go to be on TV the next day. And it'd be no love lost at all. It's what has to happen to make the business grow. Because at the end of it, in the core of it, this is at our heart, both of our hearts. Mm-hmm. And we this is something that is dear and true and near to all of us. And that's why we're able to speak on it so passionately. So we're not willing to let it go at all, regardless of what disagreements we may ever have. Mm-hmm. And so I really think that's what sets us apart as well from any of the other organizations that are out there, because I see a lot of them. And some of them, they have leadership, but their leadership moves on their own. You know, their leadership moves without consultant. The leadership just kind of shifts around. Or there's a lot of cattiness and arguing and fighting and so on and so forth, and you can see that trickle down from the top down, and it just really affects the core of the organization's mission, and at the end of the day, that is not going to be affected at all.
I love that, Jared. Everything you just said, I mean, I honestly, truly love it, because it has to be organic in order for it to work. You know what I mean? You cannot try to force anything to work. And once you start to force it, that's when, you know, everything just come crumbling down. And what you guys are trying to do is build over there, you know, with Black Gold Project. So to hear you say that means a lot, because that means you guys are actually building, you know, you're building something that's organic. You're building something that we as the people can feel, because you're giving the love right back. So I appreciate what you guys are doing. And how can the people find more about you? know, give yourself a shout out. Go ahead. Tell us your social media, your websites and everything like that. And also how if we can still purchase tickets for today's event, how we can go cop those tickets for today.
Yes, no doubt. Well, the first thing you would do is just go to our website. Our organization is Black Gold Project. Our website is blackgoldproject.com. So you would just go to www.blackgoldproject.com. That is where you can also purchase your tickets, but you can find out all the information. So as soon as this festival is over, tomorrow and Tuesday, I'm going to be up on that website, updating the website for the next event and going through that so you can stay updated with everything on the website. But if you want to purchase a ticket today, you can go to our website, blackgoldproject.com, and the show is It Could Be Worse. You just go right there, you press the purchase ticket button, and it hits you to a Ticket Leap site, and you purchase your ticket, and we would definitely love and appreciate the support. While you're at it, go on and follow us on Facebook at Black Gold Project. And we would love for people to follow us on Instagram. We are around 90. We're still hovering around 9,500. I'm trying to get us to 10,000. My goal was 10,000 before the festival, or by the time the festival ended. Y'all. So come on, y'all.
Help us
we
out.
Are at Black Gold Imagery, at Black Gold Imagery on Instagram. And that is a beautiful, that's another part of our organization through social media, where we constantly stream beautiful pictures of beautiful families, of black people, of black, you know, just black youth and black loveliness and black.
I love it.
And, but it's tagged with the I Am Black Gold symbol. And it's just something beautiful when you wake up every morning just to scroll through and just see a beautiful face that is smiling and shining. And it came from a concept of just me scrolling through my Instagram feed and seeing, you know, if it wasn't black people being ratchet, it was black people fighting, it was world star stuff. It was, you know, it was something crazy every time. So I just thought of a concept, and I love to take pictures myself. So I just started, I tagged my pictures and just started posting like the beautiful pictures of just black people just enjoying themselves and smiling in the sun and maybe, you know, eating together.
It's so amazing. Please submit a picture to Black Gold Imagery, because people from all over the world
so
send their pictures in of themselves, their families, their kids, their lovers, husbands, wives. It is just the most. I mean, it gives me chills just thinking about it, because if you have any time you have a hard time about what is the Black Gold Project, go look at Black Gold Imagery.
That
is exactly what it is. It is showing us that we are such a beautiful, vibrant, festive people that deserve to begin to celebrate and bask in the light of our greatness.
Yep.
And I really hope that you guys help us get to 10,000.
And understand, man, it really, like she said, it encompasses the fact that we are Black Gold, you know, and that's when we created this. I started Black Gold Project, came up with the name just by thinking of that slogan there, like, no, we are Black Gold.
Mm-hmm.
We are Black Gold. At all times, we are Black Gold, even in our core of ratchetness.
Mm-hmm.
We are Black Gold. Why? Because
awesome.
If it gets about a billion hits, people still like to see it.
Definitely.
But we don't need to see it all of the time. And so once we start to control our media and our own life, you know, we can start to redefine
who we are, what we are, what happens to us inside of our communities, what kind of food we eat, how the police treat us, what kind of stores we have, what kind of education our children are getting.
Yes.
We have to begin to look at our Black Gold Imagery and decide that I have a beautiful family.
Yes.
I am beautiful. My husband is beautiful. My wife is beautiful.
Yes.
My children are beautiful. And once we begin to think like that, then we'll be able to take a look around at the rest of our environment and decide that that is no longer good enough for us.
Definitely.
Yes.
Man, I love
follow
your passion.
Just follow us at Black Gold Imagery and blackgoldproject.com. I'm sorry. I know we're going off.
No, you're fine. I was about to say, I love your passion, man. We love this passion. We like, it inspires us here, you know, to make sure that, you know, our listening audience is, you know, adapting and tapping into exactly what you're saying. You know, I love your passion. Keep it going. Keep it up. Because I know the audience, when you're at your, you know, your performance, they're in tune and they're like, yo, their passion is amazing. And to see you guys do it, you know, in character, it's like a whole nother visual, you know what I mean? Because we know you as a person and how much passion you has as a person, but to do that, to give that passion again as another character means a lot. Means truly a lot, and that's talent right there. Honestly, that's talent. So I appreciate
and
both of you.
So much fun.
It is. It's so much fun to just be.
We have a really good time.
We do. And even in the bad times, it's a good time. You know, even in the bad times, we laugh and we sit back and we will drink.
We look back at all the crazy that has happened or whatever, but we still love it because, I mean, it's so much fun. And we know that we are really, truly just trying to make the Black community have a really, truly safe space where they can express themselves through the arts, through business, and really grow and be everything that you're supposed to be. I wanted to mention before if we have a little more time, we have out of this festival particularly has grown what has grown to be the Youth Entrepreneurship Program. So hopefully they can purchase their tickets because a percentage off of these ticket sales goes to our youth. And our youth, I mean, man, when I tell you that these three group of children that we have so far in the program, they have worked backstage, they have made on stage, they have done programs, they have done tickets. And I mean, the amount of growth that has happened that I saw with the youth and that I just met myself, you know, 2 months ago, is amazing. So I want people to know that when you go and buy your ticket from blackgoldproject.com, you're not only supporting this festival and the fundraiser, but you're directly supporting a change for our children.
Yes.
And that's so important that we support each other in that way, because truly our children are our future.
Our future.
If we don't invest in them, if we don't teach them how to be leaders, how to be economically sufficient, then, you know, what will the world be?
And these children in particular are dealing with homelessness and being in foster care, these children that we are dealing with. And just to see them come in and smile every single day in this festival, and I take them home, and they're going home with me late because I'm the last one to leave, and they're leaving at 1 o'clock in the morning with me. And they are smiling, beaming, yes. And I'm dropping them off to their moms or their dads, and their moms and dads are thanking us all the way along. But
they're like, I can't
wait to get back in the morning. I can't wait to get back in the morning. And they're creating their own. We gave them a project to create their own event. And I mean, to see the ideas that they're coming up with, but also watching them watch us.
Mm-hmm.
They're learning how to network. They're learning how to talk. They're learning how to become entrepreneurs and market and promote themselves. So that is another beautiful thing that has just come alive out of this whole situation. And it's just one of those things at the core. This is our love. This is our life. This is what we are about. And it feels so good to be able to do this every day and truly, genuinely just give back and give back selflessly. Like, it's not for us. Like, I love the fact that, you know, we can be on this radio speaking and we can help you out in any form of way. And likewise, you know, when I saw you guys down at the school district, I'm like, hey, you know, we got to get back on there.
Awesome. Yes, yes.
And thank you. Thank you so much for, you know, making sure I'm reaching back out. I know we missed the last one. We were backstage literally running around.
And I know, trying to put this Black Love show on. Yes, and I was about to say, I knew that. And that's why I was cool, because you talked to me the day before. You were like, I have a performance that day, so it's probably going to be a little loud when I do call in. I'm like, yo, Jared, as long as you working, we good. And then when you text me the other day and was like, yo, I was working, I'm like, man, you on Sunday. We already plugged you and we knew you was out there working. So no fault to you guys
at
all.
Thank you for your voice. Thank you for continually having this platform for us to come on to speak on. And just for, I mean, when I was listening to you before we came on, I was like, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for being unapologetic about what is right for us.
Definitely.
I'm sorry, but it definitely speaks to that. And I was talking to my mom earlier, and she was like, you want to reach out and be more multicultural, however, like that. And I said, but you know what? I don't know the multicultural experience. Mm-hmm. I know my Black experience.
Yes.
I know where I grew up. I know my family and my friends. And, yeah, we went to multicultural schools, but my friends, you know, weren't of all multicultural status. And, yes, I have different friends of different statuses, but I also know that, you know, those friends have a culture. Those other and we don't have that.
Exactly. And they also have it's not about racism. It is about the fact that the Black community's house is on fire.
On fire.
No one else's community's house is on fire. You cannot go around giving out water to houses that aren't on fire when the house next door to you is.
That's true. That is so true. But at the same time, we got to hold ourselves accountable. We got to look into ourselves and we got to hold ourselves accountable. Self-accountability.
We got to hold ourselves accountable for starting that fire. You know, I wouldn't say starting the fire. I would say adding fuel to it.
Exactly.
Adding fuel to it. And we do have to hold ourselves accountable.
We're about educating.
Yep.
Empowering.
Yep.
uniting and activating, because yep. we have to be educated. We have to be educated in order to be empowered, and to be, and once you're empowered, you can be united. Then we can be activated to be better, to move forward.
And it's a strong part of, it's a lot about accountability.
Definitely.
You know, it really is about accountability. And once we hold ourselves accountable for our own actions and not looking to anybody else for satisfaction or the Oscars or anybody mm-hmm. to give us any gratification or these award shows, like we can define ourselves. And so, the fact that we're able to do that is beautiful. The fact that we're able to be on this platform with you guys and that you guys are doing it is beautiful. And that's what we strive to do as well, just be unapologetic about our mission, about keeping our people together and rising up together, because slavery has played its toll. Jim Crow has played its toll, and it still is sitting in our DNA. And we are still fighting that today. And it takes a lot. It takes a lot. And it's hard to get our people to support. It really is. But I know one thing in me, I'm not going to stop the fight, you know, and I know my sister here is not going to stop the fight, and anybody that is with us in this mission is not going to stop this fight, because this fight is worth fighting.
Definitely, and I thank you guys for coming on the Revive platform always, and I wish you guys many, many blessings in your future endeavors, and I hope you guys kill it today as well. Thank you, guys.
We sure will,
and go get your tickets, y'all, blackgoldproject.com. It could be worse. Come check us out. We're going to have a nice packed house tonight, so pack it up some more.
Yeah, get your ticket quick. We don't know. In a couple hours, it's going to be sold out, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Awesome. Have a good one, and have a great show today as well.
Okay, and if you guys can come through, come on and stop on by, y'all. We know we got some tickets at the door for y'all.
Got you. Thank you, Carolina and Jared.
See you later.
Bye-bye.
Yes, man, we just wrapped up a great interview with Black Gold Project, man. Make sure you guys go support them. Follow them on Instagram as well. They're trying to get to that 10,000. Help them to get to that 10,000, man. They're great people over there in the city of Philadelphia, just showing love, brotherly love, sisterly love to the youth, to the community, to everyone around us. We're trying to bring back that unity, and they're doing it through the arts, man. It's not a lot of people you find trying to do it through the arts. They're trying to bring back the arts. They're trying to save the arts. They're trying to allow people to, you know, have creative spaces to get off that juice that they need to get off sometimes. You know what I mean? So I appreciate that. Always, definitely do appreciate both Caroline and Jared from Black Gold Project always coming through on the Revive timeline and showing love, definitely. But we got True Heart coming up with the Truth Series real quick. We got to get the Truth Series in, man. I ain't hear the Truth Series in like 2 weeks, so we got to get the Truth Series in. Yo, True Heart, you ready for the truth? You ready to give him the truth? I thought you was reclaiming your time today, man. I thought you was reclaiming your time. We'll be... Man, Truth Series is coming right up right now. No commercial break, man. No commercial break. Yo, producer, mind your business. No commercial break. True Heart, we coming up. Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready for the truth?
The truth.
Are you ready?
The truth.
Are you ready?
The truth.
Are you ready? Are you ready for the truth?
The truth.
Are you ready?
The truth.
Are you ready?
The truth.
Are you ready? Are you ready for the truth? It's the Truth Series.
Good afternoon. It is your girl, True Heart. I am back live on Revive. And thank you guys so much for tuning into the Truth Series. I missed y'all. I haven't been on the mic in a minute, but your girl is back. So let's jump right into it. The Truth Series is entitled today, Reclaiming My Time. Reclaiming My Time. Before I jump right into it, be sure to follow Higher Level Communication on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, because the Truth Series is an entity of Higher Level Communication. That's where you can enlighten, empower, and elevate. So you guys definitely want to stay in the loop. But the Truth Series today, Reclaiming My Time. Y'all already know that Auntie Maxine Waters is getting it. She is putting on for the culture and just being her true self. So in being her true self, she stated and told Honorable Nunchkin, what he failed to tell you is when you're on my time, I can reclaim it. And guys, when I say I felt that in my soul, in my spirit, in the bottom and the pit of my heart, I said, yes, Maxine, oh, get it. And she literally kept saying, reclaiming my time, reclaiming my time, reclaiming my time. See, nobody can do it like she can. But I felt it in my spirit, because this past week, I really had some time to reflect on myself and what I do and what I want to do. And that came about because sometimes to elevate, you have to separate. And I'm not saying that you have to separate yourself from your friends or your family forever. But what I will say is sometimes to elevate a little bit higher, you have to take that time to yourself. And that time
may cause some separation. It doesn't have to be forever, but it does require you to get out of yourself and essentially, you know what, I'm just going to go over here so I can reflect and figure out where I want to go. This past week was filled with so many revelations. It was filled with so many thoughts and aha moments. And you know why I got there is because I took time. I literally reclaimed my time and said, you know what, Trueheart, you have to focus on you. And some things that I wanted to share in the Truth Series is what I realized, guys, is that time is a non-renewable resource. It's a non-renewable resource. It's something that continues to keep going on and on and on. And it's something that cannot be renewed or made up. Sure, the Lord is always blessing us with 24 hours. Again, thank you so much. But by the same token, this 11:58, we're never going to see, not on this day. We'll see another 12 o'clock. But it won't be on August 13, 2017. So make sure that you're not wasting time. Another thing that I realized is that we need to stop wasting time, because time isn't promised and it's something that we cannot get back. We need to eliminate distractions. You have to focus on yourself before you can focus on anybody else. If you're not well, then you cannot take care of somebody else and make sure they're well. You need to make sure you're whole. You cannot pour from an empty cup. You have to make sure that you're full, you're overflowing, and you give back from the overflow. You don't just sit here and say, you know what, I don't have anything left to give, and be all drowned out and be all and then you can't give to another person. No. So at the end of the day, you have to reclaim your time in a sense and stop wasting time. Stop wasting time. Eliminate distractions. Put your phone down. Disconnect and unplug. When I say that, I'm not even going to lie. I'm that person that wakes up and boom, I'm right on my phone. Without even taking the time to say, thank you, God, for a new day. I saw another 24 hours. But I will say that, guys, it's important to disconnect and unplug, even if it's not for the whole day. But just make sure that you have that time to be within yourself and be one with yourself before you even pick up your phone and just disconnect. Just disconnect. And another thing that I will say about time, spend time doing things that you love and that you like. You're not going to get time back. So you want to make sure that, one, you're not wasting time, but you also want to make sure that if your time is given, you want to make sure that you spend time doing things that you love. And one thing that I realize is that when I think about my vision for my life and I think about how I want to use my gifts and my talents, that vision is going to be clear. And make sure that you share your vision with like-minded people, because I'll let y'all know, I want to be a full-time traveler. And people are like, how are you going to do that? Well, you need to make money or different things like that. But there's ways to do it, because I won't be the first person to do it. And I think in that moment, it's just like, because time is precious. So sure, we can work a 9-to-5. Sure, we can make money. But I think at the end of the day, you're working, you're just literally like a hamster on a wheel. You're spending your time at work and you're not being rejuvenated. You're not being refreshed. You're not reclaiming your time. You're just honestly just spending time wasting away. So we want to make sure that if we're going to be spending our time somewhere, that at least we want to make sure that it's enjoyable. And what I will say is that the real key to life is being present. You want to be present in the moment. I challenge you all today to just be present. Be present in that moment. That sure, you know, we all have the urge to pick up our phone and record it, whether it's some beautiful flowers that we're standing in front of, or whether it's somebody on the stage that is just giving us so much life. But what I will say is that be present. Be mindful of what you speak. Be mindful of what you think. Be mindful of what you do, because that time that we spend thinking and speaking and acting, we need to make sure that those things are positive. We need to make sure that the things that we put out are going to be the things that we want to get back. And honestly, truly, you be mindful. Be mindful. And in that present moment, you'll be more aware of yourself. You'll be more aware of what you're doing. You'll be more aware of what you're thinking. And one thing that I will say is that, guys, you know it's Self-Care Sunday. You know that I'm going to bring up Self-Care Sunday because it's Self-Care Sunday by Higher Level Communication. So in this conversation today, I am going to be live at 5, so be sure to tune in on Instagram because you don't want to miss it. But what we're going to be talking about is, how are you reclaiming your time today? How are you going to take back your time? How are you going to make sure that when somebody is on your time, if somebody is demanding your time, that they're not wasting your time? How are you going to be present in the day? And guys, this is called the Truth Series, so I'm not going to lie to you. I'm going to give you straight facts. And what I will say is that if somebody is wasting your time, you don't necessarily need them around. If somebody is not respecting your time, then maybe that's just not something that you need to be doing at the moment. But guys, what I will say is, reclaim your time. Anything that is distracting you, anything that is not getting you to grow or glow, let it go. And even if it's not something that you have to let go forever, remember what I said in the beginning of the Truth Series. Sometimes you have to separate to elevate. And that doesn't mean that you're severing a whole years of friendship or a whole, you know, family member. But what I will say is, you have to just reclaim your time and make it happen today. Today is Self-Care Sunday, guys. I will see you live at 5, and today is the Truth Series. Elevate higher. Peace.
Shout out to you with the Truth Series. Thank you, guys. Reclaiming your time. Definitely, you have to reclaim your time. Shout out to Maxine Waters, Councilwoman Maxine Waters, for even putting that out in the atmosphere, because we're all thinking about how we can reclaim our time nowadays. Definitely. But we do have our next guest coming up on the Revive platform. We have an incredible show. We have a jam-packed show for you guys today. We are going to have our next guest, Omar Tyree, coming up right after this quick commercial break. He's going to be talking about his new book he just dropped for the streets, man. You guys do not want to miss this. We'll be right back after this quick commercial break. You know what time it is. It's me, your girl, POC.
All across America, people dream of home ownership. Your race, national origin, color of your skin should not affect your dream of owning a home. All too often, lenders target minorities and minority communities with bad loan products, destroying dreams and ruining lives. Lending discrimination is unlawful. If you believe a lender has targeted you with a bad loan, call HUD at 1-800-669-9777 or go to HUD's website, hud.gov/fairhousing. HUD. One call, many answers.
Welcome to Revive. It's about that time. Welcome to Revive. It's about that time. All I need is one mic. You know what time it is. Open up your ears. You know what time it is. Open up your mind. It's about that. Yes, yes, and we are back on timeforanawakening.com/revive. It's me, your girl, POC, holding it down each and every Sunday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Make sure you guys stay tuned. Spread the word that we are live on timeforanawakening.com/revive, or you can go directly to tune in. You can either download the app or go to the website and just search Time for an Awakening, and you will hear me, your girl, POC, live on these airwaves each and every Wednesday from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. and each and every Sunday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. And make sure you guys follow us on both Facebook and Twitter at Revive_POC, because we are live posting on Facebook and tweeting out on Twitter each and every time we get on the airwaves, so you guys can stay in the loop every time we get out here. We want to make sure you guys know what's going on with us here on Revive, so make sure you guys subscribe to that Revive newsletter as well. But we do have our next guest coming up on the Revive platform. Yo, Truer, who do we have coming on the Revive show today? We got jam-packed show, man. I swear we do.
Definitely, definitely. So up next, we have Omar Tyree. Omar Tyree is a New York Times bestselling author, the winner of the 2001 NAACP Image Award for Outstanding Literary Work Fiction and the 2006 Phyllis Wheatley Literary Award for Body of Work in Urban Fiction. He has published more than 20 books on African American people and culture, including 5 New York Times best-selling novels. He is a popular national speaker and a strong advocate of urban literacy. Born and raised in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and he currently lives in Charlotte, North Carolina. Welcome, Omar Tyree, to the Revive platform.
All right. Thanks for having me on. I'm listening to you. You got a whole lot of energy, man. I was up all last night, so I'm like, boy, she sounds like a shot of coffee or something.
We got to wake the people up. Every time we go on the airways, we got to wake the people up. But go ahead and tell us a little bit more about you. I know we just read your bio, but no one can tell us about you as well as you can tell us. So definitely let us know.
Well, it's crazy because I was up last night listening to these Afro beats, which is the new rave right now. It sounds like groovy reggae music and that whole British funk from back in the 90s. They had a whole lot of bands back then. So I'm listening to these songs, and I got a young artist who's 17, Waco, out of London. And she's hot, man. Nigerian's incredible. So we're working on music. And so I'm listening to these tracks, and I'm listening to one that I like. And so I wrote a song last night called Philadelphia Man, where I ran down my whole history. And, you know, I was born and raised in the bottom of West Philadelphia. That's one of the hardest areas of Philadelphia. And then I moved to Mount Airy, which is like the big move up for black people. We all moved up and took over Mount Airy in Germantown. They call it Uptown now. Mm-hmm. And so I moved up there, and then I went to Central High School, which is one of the most academic high schools in Philadelphia. But I'm still a Philadelphian, so a lot of times, you know, people think of me as a book writer, and they think of soft stuff, and they think of intelligence, and they think of, you know, people being in a house reading a bunch of books. I didn't do none of that. I was a typical football player hanging out with the boys, getting in trouble, but I had a crazy knack for details and a crazy attention span, and I had a great memory. And so I would memorize movies and songs and all that stuff, and every time we got in any kind of trouble at the parties or talking to girls, I would memorize the details of what they were wearing, what they said. And so I always had that storytelling in me. So by the time I got to my college years, I went to the University of Pittsburgh first in 87. You know, so that was 30 years ago. I'm an old head now for real, putting my stripes in dude. And so when I first went to Pitt, we started doing assignments based on who we were and our, you know, our neighborhoods and our hobbies. And I was at Pitt with a whole bunch of kids from other areas, Pittsburgh. They were from New York, New Jersey, Maryland. And I'm representing Philly and Pittsburgh. So I'm like, yo, I'm going to write about Philly. You want me to write about Philly and the street parties and the fights and the house parties and the fly girls? And so that's where it started, you know, my freshman year of college, where I started writing stuff. And the other students was like, dude, you were incredible with this writing stuff, man. I can hear it. I can see it. I can feel it. You good, man. And I was like, yeah, I was always good at storytelling, but I didn't do it on paper. We did it verbally, you know. So now, years later, I've been writing the stories. You know, I started the whole, you know, urban street lit stuff. I just called mine urban classic. And then they started talking about street lit because it got harder and harder and harder. And I'm like, yo, I didn't, you know, intend to create hard literature. I want to just talk about my people in our time in the 80s and the 90s, you know, when I was coming up as a teenager and then as a young man. And then it went on something crazy where every book became, you know, something about drug dealers and craziness. And I'm like, yo, man, Fly Girl wasn't meant to do that. A Do Right Man wasn't meant to do that. And, you know, Just Say No and all the other great books that I've written.
Great,
you know,
great books, man.
To uplift our people through understanding who we were. And so that's who I am in a nutshell. I've been writing books for years, but I'm a true blue Philadelphian. Don't get it twisted, man. And so now I'm coming right back to the music now with poetry. Jill Scott was in our poetry clique in West, actually it was North Philadelphia. We had this clique called Buttermilk Cafe in this North Philadelphia bar where we all met up and did our poetry. I was one of the hottest poets there. Jill Scott was hot. And then she started writing music at the same time I was writing books. But my book money was already blowing up. I was already a hot dude. So I'm like, I'm not going into music. I already got the book thing. And so I could have went into music 20 years ago. But now I'm coming back to it because people don't read like they used to. So it's time for me to brush off my pedigree and come back to that Philadelphia love of vocal skills and soul music and poetry and hip hop that's meaningful for the people. And I said a mouthful, but that's who I am. I'm a mouthful.
I love it, man. I love it. And when you talk about your books, you have some really, really great books, man. I don't think you even know how much your books are impactful to the community, because you have, especially Fly Girl, that's the one right there. That's definitely the book for me. But you, I got to disagree with you just a little bit, Omar, because you said people don't read like they used to. I think people are now picking up the books and putting down, you know, like the audio and things like that, because it's time that we educate ourselves. It's time that we go pick up, you know, some Omar Tyree books so we can educate ourselves on what's going out here, because you had the blueprint, you know, for what's going on now. Back then, when you first dropped them books, we didn't see it. But now we can go back and read your books and be like, yo, this is 2017. And he dropped this book about 8 years ago. And he's now telling us something that, you know, is happening right now. Do you ever feel like that? Do you ever feel like while you're writing and then you read it 10 years from the date that you, you know, released it, does it ever feel like deja vu to you at all?
I've always been ahead of my time. When I first started talking about writing books out of Philadelphia, my boys laughed at me. And it was like, dude, you hang out with us, you a regular dude, you ain't in the house reading books. What are you talking about? You want to write a book? I was like, look, man, every time we out here getting in trouble and whatnot, I'm the one that documents everything that happens. All I got to do is take the time to write it down. And so I said, well, I'm going to be one of the first ones. And so I was always ahead of my time, you know what I mean? So when I'm doing stuff as a writer, there's two words that I use that – one of the words we use in our community is relate to. You know, you hear readers say, oh, I can relate to it, I can relate to it, I can relate. That's why you love Fly Girl. You're a woman, young woman growing up in an urban community, black, and you're nationalistic, so you relate to Fly Girl. And I'm like, that's great. But I've written 27 other books that you may not relate to, but you could explore and expand, which is the word I use. Black people need to learn how to expand their brain cells and stop reading what you already relate to, because you already know that. I get the fact that you feel warm and fuzzy because you're reading something that you're used to. But once you read it 4 and 5 times, now move on to something that's new to you that you can learn from. And so that's what I've been doing for years. So, yeah, you're right. I'm ahead of the curve. And then people, you know, they got to catch up. A lot of times folks are like, oh, I read all your books. And they read 3 books. I got 28 books. You ain't read all my books. You got a whole lot of work to do. And I don't say that in a mean way. I just say that in an educational way, because all of my books are on point with community messages. Okay? So I got a book called Leslie out of New Orleans that dealt with New Orleans poverty. That is one of my favorites. Just Say No is a book about the music industry. That is one of my favorites. Sweet St. Louis is a black-on-black love book, and we don't have a whole lot of those. That's in the trenches for black-on-black love. It's a beautiful story, and it needs a movie. And so I got a whole lot of books that, you know, I have out there that people have not read that could uplift them and inspire them and expand their brain cells away from that word we always use. Relate to, relate to, relate to. Stop relating and start expanding.
Definitely. I love that, relating. So don't relate, just expand. Like, go out there and reach for something that you're not used to. Get out of that comfort zone and stop and start being uncomfortable. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Yeah, but that's why they keep reading these hood books. Well, I can relate to being in the hood. I mean, how many books you going to read about being in the hood? Stop it. Cut it out. Get out of the hood, man. Travel to Cuba. Travel to Africa. Travel to Canada. Get your man out the hood, man. It's like you riding around the block 20 times in a car. What you got a car for? You can walk around the block and you ain't going nowhere.
Come on, sisters.
Come on, brothers. Expand your brain cells. And I'm not trying to hate you. I love you.
Definitely. I'm with you on that. And actually, Omar, so what keeps you motivated? What keeps you going? What was that motivation for you to say, you know what, I want to be able to write stories that we all can relate to, no matter where you are in life, no matter what you're going through in life, you know, no matter, you know, your location, your religion, anything? Like, what made you started writing, you know, other than going through the experiences yourself? Like, what was that intent motivation, though?
Well, you know, a lot of times, you know, they got this allegory, what came first, the chicken or the egg? And a lot of times people fumble over that. You know, some people might say the egg. I always said the chicken. It's in you. It's like that Gatorade commercial. Is it in you? You know, so I was just born with that type of feel where, you know, I'm the firstborn of the next generation. My mother was the oldest of 8. My father was the oldest of 4. And so I became the oldest grandchild, the oldest grandson. And so I was always around people older than me. So I was that young, wise soul, you know what I mean, where you always sucking up mature content. And so I just had this hustle and flow about me from day one. And so it was not something that was instilled. So people always been asking, who told you to do this? Look, I just said I want to do it. and I want to make it happen. Nobody had to tell me. I had to wait for somebody to tell me that. And so sometimes we got to stop following and being inspired by and be the inspiration. You be the one that started. And yes. So I'm also an Aries, man. And, you know, Aries is the first in the zodiac. And so we always jumping out front trying to do stuff with our big round head. You know what I'm saying? Running
I'm an Aries myself, so I know what you feel.
And then the Philadelphia connection, the community of Philadelphia, I call it row house mentality, where we all live right next to each other. And when I grew up in bottom of West Philadelphia on 38th Street, we had a household of like 15 people. And that was the baby boom era. And they had a whole lot of other houses on that same block. 10, 15 people in the house. And so when we all come outside, it's like 400 people on the block. And so you use the people around you all the time in Philadelphia. And that's why Philadelphians are such communal people, because you can't get away from people. We know how many people are around us. We know how many people are watching what we do. We know how many people we owe things to. And so Will Smith is very communal, and Kevin Hart is extremely communal right now. And I've been that way forever. We think about the community all the time. And so when I wrote my song last night, Philadelphia, man, I hit on all those points. It's just something about that Philadelphia man that you know you got to hold down for your people, because that's how we was raised and brought up. There ain't no lying about Philadelphia, because when you come outside and 400 people can see you, ain't nothing you're going to lie about. They see everything you're doing. So you might as well bring the truth, baby, and bring it with confidence and bring it with gusto. And so that's what I've been doing. People that don't know me, now you hearing me. Read the books, now you know. But I'm bringing it back to music now, so you can hear me on the regular out them cell phones, because the cell phones are taking over the world now. And so I got to jump on them cell phones so you can have the music and you can see me in the videos and make sure I can lock down, you know, the things that I could add to this community.
Definitely. And what should we be expecting, you know, from, you know, your music? Are you coming out with an EP? Are you coming out with the whole album? What should we be expecting from your music?
Oh, man, I love this conversation. The EP, okay? When I hear this EP talk, it's like me saying I'm going to come out with half of a book. I'm going to come out with 6 hot chapters, knowing that the book is 24 chapters. So I don't even think about this EP stuff, man. I grew up on albums where everybody would had a chance to map out an entire story of who they are in 17, 18, sometimes 20 songs with the snippets and the interludes and all that stuff. Man, these kids coming out with EPs, with a couple hot singles, trying to get on. And I'm like, dude, do you have a full story to tell? Who are you? You know, when Jill Scott came out, who is Jill Scott? She wanted to tell her whole story. You don't do that in no EP. And so now the industry has turned these kids into quick hustlers. They want to get a quick single out. Panda, 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 panda. Dude, where's your album? Where's your next song? Who are you in the whole totality? And so I don't even think about that EP thing, man. I'm old school. I'm thinking about the whole album from day one all the time. I got me 2 young artists, Waco out of London, and I got Anna Morris out of Indianapolis, and they both came. One is 19, just turned 20. Waco was 17. They both came to me like, oh, Mar, we putting out an EP? You know, get us out there. I said, look here, I'm not thinking about no EP. I'm a veteran writer. We going to write a whole album. You got a whole story. I'm not going to sign you if you were EP work. I want a world's worth multiple albums. You know what I mean? It's going to have a 20, 30-year career. I ain't thinking about no EP. So I'm going to educate people on that. It's just a get-in-quick screen.
Exactly.
It's like having a contract for a basketball team for 10 days, and you're doing 10 days. You don't want that. You want the 7-year, $100 million, $200, $300 million. You want that daggone Steph Curry deal for $201 million for 5 years. You don't want no daggone EP. So, yeah, it's funny, man. There's so many things I'm going to bring to the light when I come out with this full album. I don't do EPs. I do total albums, packages of who I am for the people. And that's what's coming out. The Old Head Just Spoke in October. And I'm going to do a whole poetry tour coast to coast. And I got a lot of hot joints on that joint that I'm going to push out with the first single, Stand Up. Because we got too many people sitting down and laying down, and we need more people to stand back up again like it's the 70s, and we walk around with them afros. I'm a Philadelphian like that, and that's how I'm going to bring it, baby. You heard it first right here on the radio.
And I can't wait to hear it come out. I definitely cannot wait to hear it come out, definitely. And when you say your first single is going to be entitled Stand Up, right, because you said many people are sitting down, that actually just, you know, brings me to my next question with the everything that came yesterday or Friday with the what happened in Charlottesville, Virginia. How do you feel about that? You know, as you're coming out with Stand Up, how do you feel about, you know, the alt-right groups and the Nazi groups and the white supremacy, you know, running people over with cars and marching and saying, you know, black lives don't matter, things like that. So how is that message going to resonate in your music?
Well, that was only a matter of time, man. You know what I mean? It's always been about that yin and yang with black and white folks, man. So it was only a matter of time. You know, we got that new president now, and he's turned the tide of, you know what I mean, us trying to come together. Now people are separating again. That's what he's brought there. You know, he wanted to separate, you know, people from the Mexicans with a big wall. I'm thinking, this is crazy. So he's already coming in with a separatist mind state. And so, yeah, it was just a matter of time before the people start responding in that same separatist way. And so, yeah, you know, we're going to have to stand up too now. Colin Kaepernick, you know, started that last year. And so he was kneeling down, sitting down. I was like, man, we're going to stand up, you know, fist back up and do what you got to do, man. It's a whole lot of people that still need inspiration, that still need education, that still need nationalism in their life. And so that's what part of what's going to happen. If we start falling behind, those things are going to catch up to us again. And this whole post-racial America stuff, there ain't no post-racial America. You better wake up and smell the coffee. Black is still black and white is still white. Now, we can try to work things out. But, man, if you got to protect yourself with your mind state and your psychology, that's what you got to do. And always protect yourself by knowing that at any time, they can change on you again. And so be close to your people and be prepared. I'm not saying to go out fighting and arguing all that, but
yes,
just
yes,
be prepared
yes.
mentally. If something go down, that you're ready. And that's how Philadelphia raises us, man. We always ready for that because Philadelphia is one of the most polar cities in this country, along with Boston, along with Baltimore, D.C., where black people live with the black people, whites live on the other side of town. And so, yeah, it's just sad that we're still there, but that's what we're dealing with.
Definitely. And we know that we can get that conscious message through your music, right? So once October hits, you drop that album for us, we know we can pick up that Omar Tyree album, and we're going to get all that message in that one album, right?
Yeah. And in fact, we just sent you one of the cuts, the intro cut. It's called The Old Heads Just Spoke. That's the title of the album. And in fact, I was thinking, like, wow, we should have been sent it over there where they could play it, you know, one time and let the people hear it. The poetry flow, that's just the intro to the album where I'm talking about how people are trying to get rid of the elders and get rid of the wisdom. And that's another thing that's going on with young hip-hop right now. In fact, a kid out of my own city, young Uzi Vert, has been on record talking about if you older 25, you are old N.I.G. You know, I'm like, dude, and you 23 years old, you talking that? Like, come on, man. Respect your elders. The old heads always have respect in our community. Young Bucks understood that. Now it's like Young Bucks dissing the elders on the regular. And that's horrible in our black community, man.
I agree.
It's like they separating us again with the age thing. And so that's the first thing I do on the first record out of the gate. The old head just spoke so they understand that I'm not dead yet. And I got a whole lot to give to the community. And we need to listen up to our elders who know better.
I agree with you on that, definitely. It's time that we break that generation gap because, once again, that's a division between us as African-Americans because now we got to fight against, you know, light skin, dark skin. Then we got to fight against old and young. You know what I'm saying? There's so many different divisions that's going on just in our race alone that we need to break down so we can come together and unify, you know, because we got whites on our necks right now. You know, we got the supremacy groups. We got the alt-right groups on our neck right now, and they're standing young, old, you know, tan, not tan, anything.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? They don't care.
And the more separation, the more separation they see from us, the more they can conquer.
Exactly,
you know what I mean?
Exactly.
So like, stop talking this whole old head. Respect your elders, man. We're a part of y'all. We've been through the same thing y'all
exactly.
been through. Love your elders, man. Stop this whole, oh, I'm young and they old. We ain't got nothing here. We ain't got nothing. Stop it. I'm like, where does that come from? What's going on here?
In fact,
when I talk about the old era of Fly Girl, we actually had to knock on people's doors. And if a mom came to the door, a pop came to the door, we had to be cordial. I'm coming here to meet you. Your pop come to the door. I can't act like a daggone fool. Your pop might, you know, shoot me, smack me up. Even when I made a phone call to your house, we didn't have cell phones. So I had to call your house. And if your brother answered the phone, or your mom, or your pop, or your uncle, I had to be cordial with them. Excuse me, can I speak to Tasha? I can't be no hard rock knucklehead. And so we always respected our elders because they were always around. Now you got these cell phones. You don't have to talk to an elder at all. You can talk straight to the girl and any way you want to without having to hear from her brother, her mother, her father, her uncle, anybody. And so that's
might
what's
not
really
even
destroying
meet the
us, man, that we not intertwined with the elders like we used to when I was coming up.
I agree with you on that one, Omar. And I know your music is going to touch us so we can get that unity back that we're looking for. So just go ahead and give yourself a shout out, your social media, your websites, where we can find your books and where we can definitely find your music coming out in October.
Yeah, I use my name all the time, man. I don't have no aliases and all that kind of stuff. I call myself the old head now, but it's Omar Tyree on everything. O-M-A-R-T-Y-R-E-E. You can find me on Facebook. You can find me on Twitter. You can find me on Instagram. I'm on Reverb Nation. I got something on SoundCloud. Facebook is all over the place. There's LinkedIn. You know what I mean? So I'm in all those things. As long as you can spell my name right, O-M-A-R-T-Y-R-E-E. But in this era, you have to do things that make them want to Google your name and look you up in the first place. And that's why I had to come back to music to put something in your ear so you can Google my name and then find out that I've been around you all this time, but you just had no reason to check me out. Now I'm going to give them a reason to check me out.
Definitely. And I thank you for coming on the Revive platform and supporting us here today on Revive. I appreciate you. And we're definitely going to be checking out your music. We're going to download that track that you sent over. We're going to put it into our playlist so our Revive listeners can definitely tune into that, you know, going forward.
Yeah,
so I got you on that.
Do that. I want them to know how funky it is. In fact, I'm going to end with this. I was at a Funk Fest concert yesterday in Charlotte where they playing all the Parliament stuff. You know, and they playing all of the funky jams and back. And you sitting there jamming like, wow. And you thinking about this new generation like, yo, they don't even understand that black folks are playing instruments on stage and funking it out, man, and dancing and partying. They don't even get it like that. You know what I mean? With black people is just so funky. And so I'm bringing that back, man, with them beats and them grooves. Because I think a lot of these young people, they believe that us older blacks are unfunky. We don't know how to dance. Dude, we grew up with the hip-hop. We started it. How are you going to push us out the door when we started the funk? We started the house party, the block party, the break dancing, the graffiti, the turntable, the gear, the hip-hop nation. We started it. You know what I mean? So how are you going to push us out the door now? That's my shout-out to end this thing. We funky as ever, and you're going to hear that on that first cut that y'all guys play. The old head just spoke. Thank you very much.
Thank you. I hope you have a great weekend. I wish you many, many blessings in your future endeavors, and thank you. Yo, we got to get a couple of your books to give away to some of our listening audience, so we're definitely going to network you with you a little bit more because we definitely want to give some of your books away to our listening audience.
Okay, cool.
All right, perfect. Have a good one.
You got it.
And that wraps up another great interview that we just had with Omar Tyree, the amazing Omar Tyree. Make sure you guys stay tuned to the timeline on both Facebook and Twitter so you can find out more information about what he's doing with his new music and also his books, man. His books are amazing, but I think the music is going to speak for itself. You know what I mean? If you ever read one of his books, the words just jump off the page. Honestly, truly, it makes you feel like you're in the book. So I know, you know, him going to the music direction, I know for a fact that the music is just going to simply speak for itself. But we do have another great guest coming up on Revive, the 828 movement. I'm really, really excited to have them on the show, especially while we're in the month of August, to talk about what they're doing with the 828 movement. I don't want to give it away. I want them to enlighten you what the 828 movement actually is. We are going to a very, very quick commercial break. Right after this, we are going to have them coming on the Revive platform. Spread the word, spread the message that we are live right now on timeforanawakening.com/revive. Once again, we are live on timeforanawakening.com/revive, or you can go to tune in. You can either download the app or go to the website and just search Time for an Awakening. You hit me, your girl POC, live each and every Sunday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. holding it down on these airways. So stay tuned. Right after this commercial break, we'll be right back.
Thank you. This is the story of a boy who didn't talk for a long time. The boy liked things to always be the same. Any changes would scare and upset him. The unknown was an unfriendly place. The boy was very sensitive to lights and sounds. So he built secret hiding places where they couldn't get in. The boy didn't like looking people in the eye. He wasn't trying to be mean, it just made him feel uncomfortable. Sometimes he would flap his arms again and again.
One day, I found out I had something called autism. My family got me help. Slowly, I found my voice and learned all the ways I could live with it better.
Early intervention can make a lifetime of difference. Learn the signs at autismspeaks.org.
Welcome to Revive. It's about that time. Welcome to Revive. It's about that time.
All I need is one mic.
You know what time it is. Open up your ears. You know what time it is. Open up your mind. It's about that time. It's your girl POC. Yes, yes, and we are back live on timeforanawakening.com. It's me, your girl, POC. Spread the word, spread the message that we are live right now on timeforanawakening.com/revive. Once again, we are live on timeforanawakening.com/revive. And make sure you guys subscribe to that Revive newsletter. If you just scroll right under where it says play to hear Meet Your Girl POC each and every winning Sunday, and the Sunday edition of Revive, and each and every winning Wednesday on Revive. If you scroll down just a little bit, it's going to say subscribe. Make sure you guys subscribe to that Revive newsletter so you can stay in the loop for what's going on here on Revive each and every time we get on the airways, every event that we're covering, everything. Definitely stay tuned. We do have our next guest coming up, the 828 Movement. I'm really excited to be talking with them. Yo, True Heart, who do we have coming on the Revive platform?
Up next on the Revive platform, we have Margot Sandy. Margot is a product development engineer, Amazon best-selling author, owner of In the Noun LLC, an engineering consulting firm, and co-founder of 828 Movement LLC. Margot and her friend developed this 828 bracelet to honor the important historical events that happened on August 28th. It honors the lives lost along the way in the continued fight for equality and a hope for the future. With this 828 bracelet that was just launched, 15% of the net profits will go to urban area schools across the United States. Our first donation will be in Birmingham, Alabama on August 28th. 828 will be open for pre-orders on the site, and the product will be in hands in October. Margot, welcome to the Revive platform.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. I really appreciate the opportunity to talk about this important project. But first, before we get started, I just want to express my sadness for the Virginia events that happened yesterday and the previous night. And also thoughts go out to the family of the girl who lost her life, as well as the injured folks that were there. But just wanted to say that before we get started.
I feel you on that one, Margot, because, man, it touched me. It made me feel, you know what I mean? Like, you know, a lot of things are happening nowadays, but the ones that actually stick out to you and you get goosebumps from, and you know, you're not even there, but it still brings the chills up your spine. Like that what happened on, you know, the UVA's campus, that's something that it cannot go on. That's something that cannot continue. That's something that must be stopped right now. That's something that must be addressed right now. So when you bring that up, that means a lot, because you actually care. You know what I mean? A lot of people are ignoring it and saying, yo, what do you expect? What do you expect? That is not something that I expect ever. Now, how do you feel about it? What's your opinion on it, actually?
Well, I mean, unfortunately, there is still bigotry and hatred in our country. But that should not deter us in continuing to fight for justice, fight for equality, believe that we can have a better world. I think the key thing here is we need to keep the conversation going. Don't sweep it under the rug. No matter what our leaders are or aren't saying, the people need to rise up and say, this we can't stand for anymore.
Yes, agreed. I definitely agree. But it's like, what can we do? And especially when it comes to this 828 movement, let's go ahead and jump into that, right? Because I think that this will answer a lot of questions that our people, you know, are having, you know, because a lot of people have a lot of questions. A lot of people are wondering what's next. A lot of people are wondering what can we do, you know, as individuals to make sure that we're impacting the community? What can we do as individuals to make sure that we have our hand in the pot, to make sure that we're out there on the front lines? And I think that this 828 movement and making sure that we donate, we sponsor, we become a part of it is everything. Even know what the dates of 828 is amazing, because I didn't even know how significant, you know, August 28th was until I actually reached out to you. And I think that that's important that other people know. So why did you pick the date of August 28th?
Sure. So August 28th has such historical significance. August 28th, slavery was abolished in the UK, which led to American abolition. August 28th, Martin Luther King gave his I Have a Dream speech. August 28th, Emmett Till was murdered, which of course was the rallying cry in the civil rights movement. August 28th, Katrina hit. And August 28th, Obama accepted the Democratic nomination for president. So we chose this date because we want to honor those events in history. We want to respect the past efforts and fight for equality, but also, you know, respect what's going on right now. And we have so this bracelet, it's not just a rinky-dink type bracelet. It's a stylish piece. It's sculpted. There are rings that represent the lives lost along the way, the importance of August 28th, but also a hope for the future. And so, like a lot of people, I've always found myself in that position of, I want to do something. I feel strongly about different things that are going on in our country, but I don't know how to help, or I don't know who the leader is, or what this is representing. So with this product, my friend, my business partner, Spencer Fafton, and I, we came together and we decided that what we're going to do is develop this bracelet. And we've both been designing and engineering products for over 10 years in all over the country and in the world. So we developed this product, and we're going to just donate to different schools around the country and urban area schools. So the goal is to improve the lives of minorities, schools, and communities. And that's what we're going to do. That is our mission. That's our plan with this. And our first donation is in Birmingham, Alabama on August 28th. We're picking a school right now to donate thousands of dollars to. And that's our plan to keep going until there is education equality in the state.
Definitely. And so you guys are starting in Alabama, correct?
Yeah. And we chose Alabama. So our bracelet, you know, we recognize the events of the past. And our first 15 areas of donations will be the first 15 areas where there were protests and demonstrations in the 1960s in the civil rights movement. So Birmingham is number one. Then we move on to Baltimore. Then Rochester, New York is actually my hometown and my friend's hometown. And that was where some of the riots were in the 60s. And we'll keep going down the list. And we also have a place on our website, 828movement.com, where you can nominate a school.
Awesome.
And we'll keep going.
So what made you guys want to, I know education is important, definitely, but what made you guys want to partner with different schools and reach out to different schools to make sure that, you know, you're giving back to them? How did the school correlation come into the movement of 828?
Sure. I mean, there are so many different avenues that you could donate, or it can be towards legislation. But so just on a personal note, I hold teachers in the highest regard. I think it's one of the noblest professions out there. They don't get enough credit for the task of shaping the young minds and leaders of our community. My grandma was 99 years old. She made it to 99 and started as a math and science teacher and was a community leader. And teachers should not have to worry about getting books and materials for their classroom. The NAACP, not the Athletic Association, the NAACP just came out with a report on quality of education in the states. And their point was that students that go to school in the city of Detroit should have access to the same resources that students that go to school in Bloomfield Hills, Michigan. And that's where our focus should be, on education equality. There's so many areas that you can address, and this is one that we chose.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. I wanted to understand that, definitely. And when it came to the A2A movement, right, the dates that you know that are impacting us in so many different ways, you know, such as, you know, Martin Luther King, Obama, slavery ending, things like that. How are you guys educating us, or educating the schools that you guys are, you know, donating the bracelets and things like that too? Are you guys coming in and actually giving them a rundown about the significant dates, giving them, you know, pamphlets or booklets or something that gives the education, or, you know, the history of those dates and things like that? How are they staying educated as they're receiving the bracelets?
Absolutely. Right now, we are working with HBCUs across the country.
Awesome.
We wanna highlight positive things that Blacks are doing or have done in the past. And if you go to any of our social media accounts, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, we're highlighting people that have done great things in the community, past and present. You don't have to wait till February to hear this. You can go there now every week, every day. You'll hear about great historical figures. You'll hear about people that are doing things in the community right now that you never hear about. Like, you just never hear about a lot of this stuff. There's so much negativity out there, so many bad images on the news that are not representative of what is actually out there. So, yes, we will go into schools and talk about this. We will reach out to different organizations, different community organizations, because we believe that change is possible. And no matter what happens of these types of events in Virginia, or white supremacists here, or neo-Nazis there, they will not deter us from believing that we can have a better place to grow up, and a better place for our children and our children's children.
Definitely. Are you guys a nonprofit organization?
We are profit, okay. Just because, you know, it does take a little bit of money to get the word out.
Definitely.
But you know, I mean, we state that fully on our website, that the percentage that goes to schools, but we also are realistic that, hey, it's going to take a little bit to get the word out.
Agreed. I definitely agree with you on that. So also, when it comes to the education behind it, so like in today's era, what's going on right now in 2017, are you guys educating them on like different organizations such as Black Lives Matter, that Black Lives Matter movement, and like the NAACP and things like that? Are you guys educating them on like the groups that are, or the organizations, I should definitely say, that are on the forefront right now in 2017?
Absolutely. I mean, yes, we recognize the past, but there are great things happening right now with the Black Lives Matter group. There's, you know, one person to shout out right now, the head of Kickstarter is an African-American woman who's in charge of engineering. So there are a lot of positive figures out there, and we're definitely really have a goal of educating people about what's going on now and the great things that are happening.
Definitely. So also when it comes to the 828 movement, what's the fastest and quickest way that someone can donate or someone can actually purchase a bracelet?
Sure. Just go to 828movement.com. You can click on pre-order the bracelet. And one thing I want to mention about what we're doing is that this product is designed, it's developed in the U.S., and it will be manufactured in the U.S.
Awesome.
To help schools here in the U.S. We have a great factory that we're working with right now, and we're just finalizing the details, but this is a U.S. product through and through.
And how did you guys come up with the design for the bracelet?
Well, like I said, my partner and I, Spencer, we've been developing products together for 3 years now. So just a little bit of history on us. We're both from Rochester, New York. We came from different worlds. And we actually ended up going to the same college in Rochester Institute of Technology. And didn't know each other at the time. And then later in our career, we ended up working for Brookstone, American Innovation Company. And we met there. And, we had this, came up with this side project. It evolved a lot from initially we wanted to have a ring on the band to represent different lost lives along the way. But quite frankly, there are so many people that have lost their lives, and you would have had, arms and legs filled with these bracelets, unfortunately. So it's evolved a lot, but we've got to a place where we're really excited about it, really proud of it.
Definitely. So once again, can you go ahead and give yourself a shout out and let the people know where they can find you, your website, social media, how they can purchase the bracelet and things like that. We do appreciate you here in Revive for supporting us today. We're definitely going to support you, and we're definitely going to cop some bracelets for the entire team. So I appreciate what you guys are doing. But could you go ahead and let the people know how they can find you on social media and your websites and things like that?
Oh, thank you so much. My name is Margo Sandy. And the company is 828 Movement, and you can go to www.828movement.com. Check out our bracelet there. Check us out on Instagram with the same handle, 828 Movement, Twitter, same handle, and Facebook as well.
Thank you. We appreciate you always, and we're going to make sure that we put that out there so that people can know how they can find you and how they can support you guys over there with the 828 movement, because what you're doing is extremely, extremely important, and it has education behind it, the history that comes behind it, and, just the significant date of August 28th, because you actually brought that to my mind. I did not, correlate those dates with all those significant events. So the fact that you guys are doing that and putting that out there for the people is amazing. So I appreciate the job that you're doing and appreciate what you guys are doing for the communities around you. So thank you for that.
Absolutely. And I appreciate what you're doing as well. You're putting a voice to all of these issues, all these things that are going on. So shout out to you as well.
Thank you. And I hope you have a great day, a great week. And we miss you. We wish you many, many blessings on your future endeavors. All right. So that wraps up another great show here on Revive. Today's show was the Sunday edition on Revive. But before I leave, man, I do just have to get something off my chest. But shout out to the 828 movement as well. Big shout out to 828 movement. Make sure you guys go look them up. They're doing something really, really impactful for the entire community. We put it out on both our Facebook and Twitter for you guys to go and check out their website and purchase a bracelet, man. Support. Support and purchase a bracelet for what they're doing, because the bracelets have a significant meaning aligned with a lot of different dates that's going on out there. Yo, Trueheart, how did you feel about, that movement? And with everything going on right now, the Nazi group, we watching our timeline and just blowing up from, all the imagery and videos that are coming out about what happened this past Friday on UVA's campus, man. It's really, really scary. Like, it's scary. It's not scary to me like I'm scared of them. I'm saying it's scary because it's our reality. It's scary because we actually have to watch our backs. We you know, I'm praying for the people in Virginia right now. I'm praying for the African Americans who are literally just trying to go to the grocery store. I'm praying for the kids who are on campus right now. I'm praying for, you know, the African American men and women and children who are in the state of Virginia right now. When is the state of Virginia going to actually just sit down and say, yo, we have a problem on our hands and we need to get it resolved now? Because if this started on Friday and it's now Sunday and it's still going on, there's a problem. But then you also have to look at who's policing these situations. Who is literally policing these situations? Because if you think about it, the Nazi groups and the outright groups, they're pepper spraying everything. Everyone out there, and the police is allowing that to go on. The police is standing back with their guards. They're being protected by the things that they purchased with our tax dollars, the mask and the visors and all these other guards that they have. They're being protected by our tax dollars right now, because you look at their uniform. They look like they're on the front line. They look like they are in the army. And then you also have to look at the imposters. You got to look at the white supremacists who is dressed up in army uniform with guns the size of a tank. You hear me? Like, it's so scary to look at. Yo, like, do you see how big that AK is? Do you see how big, you know, what he has on the side of his hip is right now? And he is dressed up in full military gear. So in my mind, you know, he's tricking me, because now I'm thinking like, yo, is he part of it? Is he protecting me? Is he here for this? And next, you know, he just starts spraying and he's shooting in my direction. You know, he's not here for me. So it's like, who is policing the situation? And why is the police allowing them to be dressed up in army gear? How is this going to help? How is this going to make us think that, you know, we are protected? We are being protected. Yo, Chirar, how do you feel, man? Because I can go on and on. I'm really upset. And it's like, yo, if you're sitting over here talking about the NFL and a boycott in the NFL, yes, that is something that is huge. And if you're sitting over here talking about what you did last night on Saturday, and girl, my Saturday night was this and my Saturday night was that, you're tripping. If you're not talking about Charlottesville, Virginia right now, what else is there to be talking about? You need to be sitting around, whoever you're sitting around, sitting at the table, sitting with your friends, talking on your phone, tweeting, Facebooking, Instagramming, whatever you may be doing right now. On your social device, you need to be talking about Charlottesville, Virginia. We need to be speaking up and speaking out right now, or we're going to be looking like that in here, over here in Pennsylvania, or we're going to be looking like that over here in D.C., in Maryland, in Baltimore, in Chicago, in Detroit, in so many different places, that these things can happen right now. Right now, it's not in the city where you are. Right now, it's not in the state where you are, but it's definitely coming your way, and we got to be prepared. We got to be ready. So start having these conversations now. Eliminate all distractions. Eliminate the distractions. I'm begging you guys. I'm praying for you guys to eliminate all the distractions. They want us to be distracted. Think about it. Donald Trump was just threatening North Korea 3 days ago, and now we have threats going on in our country right now. What, 2 to 3 hours up the road for 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue? And what is Donald Trump doing? What is he doing? He's tweeting about it. He's tweeting about it, people. He's not having a press conference. He's tweeting about it. What is the senator? What is the governor? What is the state rep over there in Virginia doing? I haven't heard anything other than something on social media about him calling, you know, a state emergency. No, the state needs to be shut down. Shut down. That campus, that university needs to be shut down. We need to have the FBI, the CIA, the Army, the intelligence community, whatever, needs to be over there right now figuring out how the hell did something like this happen in 2017. How did this start in 2017? We went from Russia to North Korea to Charlottesville, Virginia, real quick in 7 days. What's really good, people? Pay attention and stay woke. Eliminate all of the distractions. They want you to stay distracted so you do not know what's really going on out here. And in order to stay on top of everything that's going on, you have to educate yourselves. You have to talk around. You have to be around and talk to people who are like-minded. You have to be around and talk to people who are educated. You have to want to be that one who wants to be a sponge and soak up the information. And once you soak up the information, it's how, of course, it's retaining it, but after you retain it, it's how you apply it. How do you apply it? Are you just going to sit on the information? Are you going to sit on the knowledge? Or are you going to go out there and do what you have to do to make sure that your community, your family, your friends, your loved ones are safe around you each and every day? It's important that we do that. Run towards your fears. Get out of your comfort zone and speak up and speak out, or you're going to be looking like the people of Charlottesville, Virginia, with your eyes big and wide, like, what the hell are we going to do now? Because it's coming our way. It's coming our way. That was just a taste tester for what's really about to happen.
It's honestly, truly ridiculous. It's sickening. It's disgusting. And to even see the media, including the state police, coined as participants in the rally, or, you know, they're calling them participants, they're calling them citizens, they're calling them all these things besides what they really are, racist, bigots. They're calling them participants. And at the end of the day, we have to call a spade a spade. And I think that if it was a group of people that had a little bit more melanin in their skin, this would have been on national news. Or honestly, it wouldn't have even gotten this far. They wouldn't have allowed 1,000 people with the same mind frame together. But I think that there is something that needs to be done. Just like Margo said, you have to continue to fight the good fight. Just like Jared and Caroline said, you have to continue to fight, because you can't lose hope. We can't. So what? We have a bigot as a president. I'm not saying that he's the only person to blame, but he does have a hand in this, and he let people feel the way they feel and actually just get out there and spew racism, spew hatred. And the simple fact that we are here and it's rocked the nation, let's continue to feel this way. I'm not saying to be sunken. I'm not saying to be downtrodden, but remember this moment. Remember how you feel, because use this as fuel to the fire to, you know what, and to stand up and not lay down like Omar Tyree said. So I honestly feel like that we need to tap into ourselves, and we need to support things like the 828 movement. We need to support Black Lives Matter. We need to support, we need to hold our elected officials accountable. Everybody has a hand in this. Everybody, regardless if you're black, white, blue, red, whatever you want to identify with, right is right and wrong is wrong. And if you are on the opposite side, then you can feel the way you feel, but just don't come over here threatening my peace. So I think that my heart and my prayers goes out to Charlottesville, Virginia. And just like you said, we got to stay ready. Stay ready so you won't have to get ready. And peace and blessings. Peace and blessings to Charlottesville, to PA, to everybody who has just, this just rocked them to their core. Remember this moment and use that as fuel to the fire so we can continue to fight the good fight.
Definitely. But the one thing I do want to say is that we have to stay true to ourselves. I definitely want to make sure that we stay true to ourselves, and we do not dumb down ourselves, or we do not take away from ourselves so we can fight with them. We are positive people. We are people who fight through words and wisdom. We don't need guns, and we don't need to be out there acting a damn fool. We don't need torches. We don't need bulldozers. We don't need cars to fight our fight. We can fight with our words. We can fight with our passion. We can fight with our energy. Yes, I'm not saying don't back down from anyone, but I want to make sure that we stay, you know, true to ourselves as positive people. Us as African Americans, man, we have given back so many times. We have literally been on the front line with just our passion and the word of God sometimes. And that's what we just have to do. We just have to stay true to ourselves. And the more we stay true to ourselves, I swear it's going to be our time. We're going to stand up for what's right.
We've been here before. That's the thing. We've been here before, and we've remained resilient. So just as long as we continue to remain resilient and gather together and have one goal in mind, keep the main thing the main thing. And at the end of the day, our ancestors did it. So there's no reason why we can't pick up our tools and use our resources and do it again. So just continue to remain resilient.
Time it is. It's me, your girl, PLC. We have to wrap up today's Sunday edition of Revive. I thank you guys for listening and supporting Revive each and every day. Shout out to Omar Tyree, the Black Gold Project, and the 828 Movement for showing Revive some love. It was really, really, really a great show, a jam-packed show, an impactful show today. We talked about a lot of different things today on Revive. I hope you guys, you know, took from it and is going to go apply it right now in your everyday lives. Definitely. And make sure you guys support the Black Gold Project with their art that they're putting out, their plays that they're putting out. Go purchase a ticket. Go support them. Go like them on Instagram and follow them on Instagram at Black and Gold Imagery. So they... Black and Gold Imagery, Black Goat, I'm sorry, Black Goat Imagery, so they can get to that 10,000 follower mark. And definitely go support Omar Tyree, buy his books, and support his music coming out in October of 2017. And go look up 828 Movement on Google. Just simply search 828 Movement. The website is going to pop right up. Make sure you guys pre-order your bands right now, your bracelets right now. Make sure you guys go do that. Support, support, support the movement. There are people out here that are putting things in place and aligning things in place so we are, you know, we are televised. You know, we are making sure that the revolution is televised. We are making sure that we are heard. We are making sure that, you know, we're being seen. You know, things is that we're being felt, definitely being felt. So make sure you guys leave your imprints every day. Make sure you guys live in peace and not pieces. Make sure you guys are elevating higher each and every day. And make sure you guys understand that greatness is a choice. It's up to you to choose it. Choose greatness each and every day. You know what time it is. It's me, your girl PLC. I'll be back live on timeforanawakening.com/revive on Wednesday. Make sure you guys stay tuned. We have a jam-packed show for you guys coming up on Wednesday as well. And make sure you guys stay tuned to Comments with Consciousness every Tuesday and Thursday morning starting at 7:30 a.m. Man, I'm trying to spit some comments with consciousness with you guys. You know, I'm just trying to embrace you guys. I'm trying to feel what you guys are feeling out there each and every time I get another platform to speak and engage with you. So make sure you guys stay tuned. Subscribe to that Revive newsletter, and also follow us on both Facebook and Twitter at Revive_POC. You know what time it is. I'll be back on these airways Wednesday. Winning Wednesday is coming up. Man, stay tuned. We got some things coming down the line for you guys. You know what time it is. It's me, your girl, POC.